Hello, everybody. It's me, Mr. 12 23, back in their video. Just gotta check the sound real quick to make sure it's working. Okay, so it is working. Okay, let's get started. Anyway, in this video, I want to talk about the subject of the peace of God, a peace which is not that of what we would normally think of as peace when we hear that word, but peace that is with God and peace that we receive from God, knowing that we are saved and the Lord is above all. And Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So the world's peace is the peace, do whatever you want. It's the philosophy of just live and let live, of just do whatever you want, let people do whatever they want, and don't worry about anybody else. But it's also a deceptive type of peace, of destroying those who break the rule. In the book of Jeremiah, it says they say that there's peace, peace, and yet there is no peace. And when the Antichrist comes, it says in the Bible that by peace he shall destroy many. And that seems like an oxymoron, but the concept is pretty simple, that the New World Order and the system of the beast wants to destroy all things that are godly and holy, because they see us as a threat, and they see that doing so would create peace, or they have the deceptive form of peace in which they think that destroying Christians would create peace in the world. So that's the peace of the world, the peace that the world giveth, that Jesus is talking about here. But the peace of God is much beyond that. It's much more than I can really explain in this video, but I'm just going to do it to the best I can using the scriptures. It's called in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. So this peace is not peace in the sense of nonviolence, as some people will define it, but the secondary definition of calmness or serenity or mental peace. Now, Jesus promises that with this peace, we do not have to let our hearts be troubled, because it's an inward peace. Jesus said later in the same sermon in John chapter 16, verse 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Now, the whole message of Jesus in John chapter 14, 15, and 16 was a preparation for the disciples, encouraging them to have joy and peace rather than sorrow and worry, since he told them that he'd come forth from the Father and that he was about to leave the world and go back to the Father. Now, Jesus does not say that there will never be any physical troubles in our lives. In fact, he says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation," here in this verse. So it's a guarantee to all who will be disciples of Christ, who take up the cross daily and follow him. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 3, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." It's a guarantee. So the world hated Jesus Christ, and therefore it will hate us if we follow Jesus Christ as well. Nevertheless, that should not take away our own desire to stand up for what's right and to serve God and to do that which is godly, to do what God has commanded. It's a guarantee that we will face tribulation, we will face persecution. We know that the world hates us and that they seek to do evil unto us. But in the long run, it doesn't matter, because Jesus said not to fear them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. We have everlasting life in Jesus Christ, and we are of God. If the world persecutes us for our faith, then it doesn't matter, because Jesus said not to be troubled in our hearts by these things. He said, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Now, that's a very interesting verse. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not, but he overcame the world. And one day this world will be judged by God, the God who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." So all the things that they do unto us will be recompensed unto them. It doesn't matter how much they do unto us, no matter what, because we are born of God, because we've been born again, because we're the sheep of Jesus Christ, we have the hope of everlasting life and the home in heaven. We too have overcome the world through Jesus Christ, for it is written in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4-5, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" So essentially what it's saying is that we have already had the victory. We've already won the battle against this world by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, which has washed our sins away from us when we put our trust in him and our faith in him for salvation. So if you are born again, you've overcome the world just as Jesus has overcome the world. And therefore, God gives us peace. It says in 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given unto us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So our mind is not to be shaken. It's not to be troubled by the things of this world, no matter how many things come at us, which may try to stop us and may try to stop godly living. But we have confidence that God is on our side. And the Bible says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? In Romans chapter 8. Now, obviously, that's a rhetorical question. The world may be opposed to us, but no matter what they do, God is on our side. So their attacks and their persecutions and the tribulations which they put against us are all in vain. With God on our side, we're given peace and comfort. The Bible calls the Lord both the God of peace and the God of all comfort. Now consider the following scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, though he may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Here the Bible calls the Lord the God of all comfort, and explains why. Because he comforteth us in all our tribulation, not just some, but all of our tribulation. Again, this goes with what Jesus promised, that we should be of good cheer, we should have peace, even though we have tribulation in this world. And not only does it say that he comforts us, but it gives us the power to comfort others who are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God, it says. That's just like how the Bible says that we ought to love our brethren and to love one another, even as God hath loved us. He showed us the perfect example of love by sending his son to die upon the cross to pay for our sins, even though we didn't deserve it. Now, all those who are saved have the Holy Ghost indwelling inside of them. Jesus promised that everybody who believes has the Holy Ghost. And that is called the Comforter in John chapter 14 and John chapter 15. Now, with the Spirit dwelling within us, the Spirit comforts us and shows us an example of how to comfort others as well. In verse 5, it says that our consolation aboundeth by Christ. Now, consolation is just another word for comfort. It's the easing of the feeling of pain or stress or sorrow that we face in times of tribulation. Now, all hardships, no matter where they come from, can be lifted from us, and we can be consoled by the Spirit of God and the knowledge that the Lord is on our side and will one day recompense tribulation to them that trouble us, as it says in 2 Thessalonians. And the Bible also says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. When we receive the grace of God, our consolation and hope is everlasting, meaning it lasts forever. It does not end. Although when we get in the flesh, it may waver. If we know that we are saved and we are God's children, we know that we have overcome the world by our faith, and we have the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. The hope is an anchor for our soul, it says in Hebrews 6:19. It's the trust that we have in God, that we know for sure that he has saved us, and that we will live with God forevermore, that we will go to heaven no matter what the world may do unto our bodies. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, it says, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. So in these closing remarks of the epistle of 2 Corinthians, Paul is reminding the Corinthians what he told them in the beginning, that God gives peace and comfort and will be with them no matter what trials they go through, no matter what tribulations they go through. And that's an important theme in the epistle of 2 Corinthians. He wrote in chapter 7, I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. And so he didn't have the attitude of just complaining and being sorrowful and sad over the tribulations that they were facing, but rather he chose to rejoice in Christ Jesus even when facing sufferings. Now, Peter had the same attitude. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 to 15, it says, but and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So the mindset that we should have as Christians is not one of sorrow and suffering and fear, but joy and hope and peace and comfort no matter what happens. We're to fear God alone, not to fear any men. The Bible says, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I mean, just look at the example of the apostles in the book of Acts. When they were persecuted for righteousness' sake, in Acts chapter 5, for example, it says that they rejoice. they did not trouble themselves and think it strange that some fiery trial was trying them, because they knew what Jesus said the world would do unto them. But because they were filled with the Spirit and knew that no matter what, they had the hope of salvation, all opposition to that was in vain. So the peace that we have is a result of that hope of salvation. Because we now have peace with God, we're no longer of the world, but the children of God. Again, the question is asked, if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, if God is for us, as it is written in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Before we were of the world, we were under the wrath of God. For the scriptures say that he that believeth not the Son shall not see light, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So God is angry with the wicked every day. His wrath is against those who are unrighteous and wicked. But because we've been justified, because we've been made right by our faith, because we've had righteousness imputed unto us, because we believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, our iniquities are forgiven, our sins are covered, and the Lord does not impute sin unto us. The Bible says also in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 to 21, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. So we have peace with God through the blood of the cross, upon which Jesus Christ died and shed his precious blood. And through that we are reconciled to God. The word reconciliation means to bring back together, to restore friendship, or to settle a disagreement. Because of our wicked works, we were enmity with God. We were his enemies. But we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, as the Bible says, so that our trespasses are no longer imputed unto us. So because of this reconciliation to God, because the one mediator between God and man has saved us from God's wrath, God is no longer against us, but for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? So keep that in mind whenever you face troubles in your life, any sufferings, any tribulations, any persecutions which the world may afflict upon you. They may destroy your life on earth. They may take away the treasures you have in this world. They may kill the body, but they are not and never will be able to kill the soul or to take away your inheritance in the kingdom of heaven or to take away your fellowship with God. God gives us comfort through all pain and sufferings, and rejoice because of that. So thank you, everybody, for watching. That's it for this video, and goodbye. God bless you.